welcome to Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler. And that amazing music is Kevin MacLeod, and that tune is Darkling. Thank you, Kevin, for that. That's awesome music. And so we are about to take an amazingly wild ride into the eerie world of the Stanley Hotel. That was a place that Rich and I went to, and he's here too today.
Hi.
So now you might know it as the inspiration for Stephen King's spine-chilling masterpiece, The Shining. But trust me, the real-life tales from this place are even more hair-raising. There is a lot going on at the Stanley. First off, let's get ready to leap through time. So picture this. Let's go back in the early 1900s. There were two visionary siblings, F.O. Stanley and his twin brother, F.E. Stanley. They embarked on an awe-inspiring mission. They yearned to create a majestic mountain sanctuary, a haven where luxury seamlessly blended with breathtaking surroundings. I mean, the Rocky Mountains are right there. And so, the legendary Stanley Hotel was born. F.O. Stanley, renowned as the co-founder of the Stanley Motor Carriage Company, joined forces with his brother to shape a truly iconic establishment in Estes Park, Colorado. Their unwavering ingenuity and passion transformed the landscape into a haven for those that were seeking an amazing getaway and awe-inspiring mountain vistas. Now here's a spooky joke to tickle your funny bone. Why did F.O. Stanley always feel welcome at the Stanley Hotel?
Why?
Okay. because he knew he had the haunting talent to make every guest feel right at home.
Spooky clap.
So now that you know the extraordinary origins of the Stanley Hotel, let's get into the real good stuff. So, there is this really famous room. Do you know what that is, Rich?
Is it the Stephen King room?
It is the Stephen King room, yes. That is room 217 at the Stanley Hotel. It's not just any old hotel room. It's the epicenter of some seriously freaky things. Legend has it that in 1911, the head housekeeper, Elizabeth Wilson, was involved in a bizarre explosion while lighting the acetylene lanterns. Miraculously, she survived. But guests actually claim that her spirit still roams the halls, tidying up and even folding their clothes. Now that's what I call ghostly housekeeping service. What do you think?
I mean, that'd be nice if, you know, I left my clothes out and somebody else folded them for me, so.
It would be nice. I remember we heard about that. Like, from one of the TV shows?
We did. I left my clothes out. I remember that.
We did.
I just threw stuff all over the room. There was, like, a chair. Unfortunately, nobody folded them.
But we were not in room 17, sadly.
It's true.
Maybe if we were, we'll have to test that out. Maybe.
Next time.
It's, like, $500 or something like that to stay there for one night. So that would be an incredible kind of experience, but yeah, we'll have to do it when we have to celebrate something cool or something. I don't know. We'll see. So yeah, I remember we both kind of tossed our clothes around the room and chairs and stuff just seeing if anything would happen, but sadly it didn't. But speaking of jobs and such, let's dive into our first spooky Stanley question. If you had to choose a haunted job at the Stanley Hotel, what would it be? A. Ghost concierge, assisting spectral guests with their ethereal needs. B. Paranormal bartender, serving up ghostly cocktails in the underground tunnels. Or C. Ghost tour guide, leading brave souls through the hotel's haunted history.
Ooh. I kind of like the bartender one. I mean, there's probably a lot of good stories with all the ghosts there.
Ooh, I like the good stories idea. Yes, I think that would be really awesome. Also, maybe doing the ghost concierge would be interesting as well.
Yeah, that.
Awesome. All right.
Okay, so a twist on your question, the ghost tour guide. You're a ghost, and you're leading other ghosts to all the places where the living people are.
Ooh.
Because that's scary.
That's a good twist. Yes. Definitely. Yeah, I like that.
I would probably take that job.
Okay, cool. So now we know our ghostly jobs at the Stanley Hotel. What do you all think? Feel free to email me for any of these questions and answers because it's just fun. You can email me at randomindietraveler@gmail.com and I would love to hear what you all think. All right, now let's dive into another fascinating spectral tale. There's a phenomenal phantom piano player. Try saying that 5 times fast. Woo, that was quite...
I'm not going to attempt.
No, why not?
That's too many PHs.
Okay, PHs and Ps. Well, you all can try it. Supposedly, the original owner, F.O. Stanley, his wife, Flora Stanley, she tickles the ivories in the dead of night at the hotel.
Ooh, ice.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cold piano player.
Yes, very icy. Guests have reported hearing haunting melodies wafting through the air, only to discover the grand piano untouched and with an invisible musician behind the awesome tunes. Ooh, it's pretty spooky, I think.
It'd be kind of cool to hear.
It would be cool. I love the piano. That would be awesome. And thanks to Taylor Howard, that is lore. Or law. It's French, I believe, but it's a beautiful piece of music, so thank you for that. It made a very beautiful addition to this episode. Now, let's talk about the infamous Stanley Hotel hedge maze.
Ooh, I remember that. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. I loved the hedge maze. Yeah, what did you think of it?
I think we got lost both times going through it.
Yeah, there are like two mazes,
there's
right?
There's two separate mazes. I think they're slightly different.
Mm-hmm,
they're probably not that complicated, but it's us, so. It was muddy. I remember that. It was really muddy in some spots. I think we eventually did solve both of them.
We did in the end, yeah. Like, you have to, in one of them, you have to make it to the Stanley statue.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mona Lisa. Yeah. Stanley statue, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was cool. I like that as like a little centerpiece of the maze. It was really neat. Actually, I've heard stories about like people seeing and hearing like voices and things like around in the maze area.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's pretty crazy. So it wasn't actually in the original plans. The hotel added it because they wanted to. It was a nod towards the iconic maze scene in The Shining. And so it was added.
Oh,
but
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I believe from what I found in my research. Yeah, some people have gotten lost. They've encountered, like, strange phenomena, temperature drops, and things like that. And so, I don't know, maybe it's a shortcut to the spirit realm?
Hmm.
Ooh, or some kind of portal?
Portals!
We're
going to have an episode on that eventually.
Oh, that would mean we'd have to go through a portal. This is Random Ventures of Adventure. You never know.
I feel like it fits the theme.
Yeah, it's possible. So, hey, there you go. That could happen one day. You just never know what you'll find on this podcast. All right, here's our next spooky Stanley question. So, what would be your ghostly role in a Stanley Hotel horror film? The mischievous ghost playing pranks on unsuspecting guests? The lost soul wandering the fourth floor with ghostly children, or the friendly ghost offering helpful tips to confused visitors?
The last one, because that just sounds fun. And I stay away from kids and ghosts.
Besides your own kids.
Ghost kids, yes. Ghost kids.
Ghost kids. Okay, you stay away from ghost kids. That makes a lot of sense. Yes. All right, so that sounds pretty fun. I mean, yeah, wandering the fourth floor, that would be kind of spooky because it just seems like it's a pretty scary place in the hotel. That's where a lot of action is. Yeah, being a friendly ghost, I think that would be awesome. But mischievous, you know, playing pranks might be fun, but then that might make you like an evil ghost.
I don't want to say I want to do that because I have this weird fear now that if I said I'd be the guy playing pranks, that there's going to be a ghost come play pranks on me now. I don't want that.
Yeah, so. Okay. That makes sense, so... Yeah, well, hopefully no ghosties come and play pranks on us. I hope not. The Stanley Hotel has even more secrets up its sleeve. So let's talk about Stephen King, the grand, amazing master of horror himself. You see, King's stay at the Stanley Hotel, we had mentioned it, but let's go back into the 70s. It was the spark that ignited The Shining. And interestingly enough, room 217 is where not only had he spent the night, but he had this interesting, crazy experience. And it should be to nobody's surprise that it's said to be the epicenter of supernatural activity. Again, there is a lot that has happened in room 217, and there's even more beyond this story that you'll hear. But imagine checking in for a quiet night and leaving with the inspiration for a horror classic. Imagine that. It's crazy, huh?
Yes. That just must have been very, I don't know the word.
Groundbreaking?
Or, yeah, I don't know.
Like, just such an incredible feeling, I could imagine. So, King, apparently, he was there, and you remember his experience there on our tour? We heard a bit about it.
I believe it was winter. It was, like, the last night they were open, so it was empty anyway. And I believe he was woken up from a dream he had, something about his kid was running away or something down the halls, mm-hmm. and that's where his whole inspiration came from.
Yeah, so interesting. Right. So, it led him into waking up in the odd hours of the morning, and he apparently, according to our guide, Stephen King had stepped out onto the balcony to smoke a cigarette, and lo and behold, The Shining was created in those mere minutes after being awakened while he was on the balcony. I think by the end of that cigarette, he had already pretty much had the whole story in his head, which is crazy, so amazing. Not saying to take up smoking, but, you know.
I don't think that helps, really.
No, it did not help him, but, you know, he just, it helped him in a way, but, you know, don't smoke, guys and girls. Yeah, no smoking. Okay. Let's talk about the whole red rum thing. So what's the deal with that?
Red rum. That's from the movie The Shining. I believe the little boy says red rum with his finger and nobody knows what he's talking about, and it turns out that's murder backwards.
Ooh, interesting
and
twist.
There was a cool reference in the hotel to that. We were just walking, you know, exploring, and we looked up in one of the hallways, and they have it written on the ceiling.
Yes.
Like in one of the stairwell, well, close to a stairwell. And it was pretty cool. It was like, whoa,
right?
That's kind of unexpected.
Hey guys, Tessa here, editor for Casey and Rich. Just wanted to let you know that it looks like they caught an EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, while recording this episode. Take a listen.
Yeah, I remember we were walking and I looked up and I was like, oh my god, look. And it was like a really exciting moment of our...
To me, it sounds like it's saying, thank you. Here it is again.
Journey there at the Stanley. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he likes rum and coke, or maybe even Dr. Pepper and coke. It might make a little bit of a reddish mix concoction. And I don't know, when it's in the right light. So cheers to that possibility.
Yeah. I think we had that as a drink at the restaurant. They had Shining-themed drinks.
They did, yeah. There were some Shining-themed things that you could get there. And so, yeah, I think you're right. Which is pretty cool. I think that's what you got. You got the red rum. So we're going to be back to room 217 later. But while we're talking about Stephen King, let's wander into the hotel's eerie backyard.
Ooh.
Ooh. Or maybe a backyard. It's kind of like in a weird place across the street. But I like to call it the backyard. There is the pet cemetery. Ooh.
Oh, that was cool.
Very creepy. Yes. Yeah, it was so cool. You know, it's not just a spooky coincidence, it's a deliberate nod to King's novel, The Pet Cemetery. The Stanley Hotel's Pet Cemetery is the final resting place for the furry companions of the past. Poor furry companions.
Yeah.
So who knows, maybe some of those pets are still playing fetch, or, you know, kitties playing with the other kitties, or hissing. Depending on whether they liked other kitties or not. But maybe they're doing that in their afterlife over the Pet Cemetery Rainbow Bridge. Aw. Well, that's right. So here's some more star-studded spookiness for you. Who else has stayed at the Stanley Hotel?
Jim Carrey was there.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Why was he there?
I believe that was when they were filming Dumb and Dumber. He actually stayed in that same room, 217.
Right, he did. Yeah, exactly. So, Jim Carrey, he's the man known for his comedic antics. He had a downright bizarre and creepy experience during his stay here. So, of course, he was in room 217, because what other room would he be in? Maybe on level 4, because I guess the fourth floor is extremely haunted. But 217 also is amazing. So, rumor has it that Carrey had checked into his room and only stayed a few hours as something jolted him to his very core that he absolutely refused to talk about. What could have happened in the dead of night in room 217? What do you think?
Ooh. Well, I doubt somebody putting his laundry away would have scared him that much.
Yeah.
So it must have been something extremely scary. I don't know. Something maybe I don't want to know.
True. You never know. It could have been something just absolutely terrifying. I don't know. I mean, was he awakened by strange noises coming from nothing or nobody that could be seen by the human eye? Or were there flickering lights? Or did he, just like Stephen King, also have a nightmare that sent him absolutely terrified outside of the hotel in the wee hours of the morning? Or was it a mischievous ghost trying to get a front row seat to a comedy show? Maybe he's a Jim Carrey fan.
Right, just wanted to say hi.
Right? I mean, I am totally a Jim Carrey fan. I mean, I feel like if I were a ghost and, okay, I do want to be here for a very long time, but maybe if I were a ghost, I might go check in on my favorite celebs, like, hey, Jim Carrey's cool, Taylor Swift, some other random people, just be like, hey, how's it going? But no, maybe they would have, like, a heart attack or something, so yeah, maybe I would be a little careful, but, you know, it'd be kind of cool to get, like, a front row seat at one of those concerts, right? Like the Eras tour.
Use your ghost powers.
I would use my ghost powers.
Concerts, got it. Okay.
Concerts. Yep, concerts and like movie premieres, things like that. I mean, I think it's a great idea. But again, I hope that does not happen for a very long time. All right, spooky Stanley question. Which famous guest's ghostly encounter at the Stanley Hotel fascinates you the most? Stephen King, the master of horror, inspired by Room 217, or Jim Carrey experiencing creepy disturbances in his room that left him terrified and fleeing the hotel in the early hours of the morning, which he refuses to even talk about to this very day?
Probably Jim Carrey, just because you don't expect him to have some kind of ghost horror story
right
aligned with him. You would think there'd be something funny. That's Stephen true. King, you would expect something creepy, which obviously something did happen. But I think Jim Carrey's the more interesting one.
Yeah, definitely. Jim Carrey, I mean, I wonder what could have spooked him so much. Just, it's very mysterious.
Maybe it was just Jeff Daniels hiding under his bed or something.
Maybe he was playing a prank on him.
Yeah, I mean, they were filming the movie.
That's
so
true. Yeah, that's a good guess. That's funny. So, yeah, that hilarious movie, Dumb and Dumber, with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. You know, that's what led to Jim's crazy experience at the Stanley. Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, you know, they're causing some chaos in those iconic hallways. And those were the same hallways where ghostly children reportedly play. Coincidence? Maybe. Creepy? Definitely. Actually, there's a scene in the movie where Jim Carrey and Mary, the Swanson, that's her character, but also her real name is Lauren Michael Holly, where they were running up the stairs. They were trying to race.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe we have a video of that, which I don't know. Maybe we can put it somewhere and post a link somewhere. So
us running up the stairs. I was not going to leave without running up those stairs.
Right? Heck yeah. So we'll have to post that maybe on TikTok or something on both or one of our pages. And we'll put that in here for you guys to check out. But we had to do it because it was in the movie and it was so much fun. So that was a fun classic recreation, right?
Yes.
Yeah, super fun. That was like one of my favorite things that we did. So now let's delve into the history of the underground tunnels beneath the hotel. It was used during Prohibition. These secret passageways were the perfect place for guests to indulge in some covert boozing, you know? You couldn't do that above ground. Ooh. You couldn't be seen partaking in such things because it was illegal at the time. So that would have been pretty interesting. But it seems the spirits of those party animals linger on as echoes of laughter and clinking glasses have been heard by unsuspecting visitors. Who knew the afterlife was such a swinging affair? A little party time. I don't know. The tunnels beneath the Stanley Hotel are also really interesting. We had gone on a tour down there in that area. And so you want to talk about that a bit, Rich?
Are we talking under the main building?
Yes.
Okay. So we did a couple different tours. Both of them went under, like, the main Stanley building. One of the really cool parts, like, for me is they turn the lights off in these tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets really, really dark. And it's kind of fun hearing all the people like, ah! And I just kind of like, oh, this is cool.
Yes.
Supposedly, these tunnels are haunted.
Yep.
They had some pictures of things, you know, people might have caught. But I think the most interesting thing we had actually happened to Casey.
Yes, that was so crazy. And right before I jump into that, I want to just mention, you were talking about the pictures, and there was a picture that the guide showed us, and it was like a golem-type creature who was lurking behind these two ladies. They were just taking a selfie, and I think they took several of them, and then one, there was this weird creature right behind them when the other one didn't show anything at all. So that must have been like pretty scary to see that in your picture. But yes, I had experienced something down in those tunnels, and it was very shocking because the guy was just finishing the story on that, the golem in the tunnel, just lurking. And so I was taking a couple of pictures and stuff around that area because that's around where I was standing and that's where we were. And so I had done that, and all of a sudden I had my purse that was like across my body, and that's where the strap was, and the purse was on my side. And all of a sudden the purse lifts up. Now I have to say that there was nobody to that side of me. Rich was on the other side. He didn't bump into me. Nobody was in front of me or us. Nobody was there. So it's like this purse, it lifted up, I would say at least a good 2 inches. And it felt like someone was just lifting it from the bottom as if they had put their hand down under there and just lifted up the purse itself. The strap was still on my body just fine. It wasn't lifted really, but yeah, just that main purse part, that was. And it was so crazy. I just didn't expect that. And the guy was just talking about the golem. And then Rich was taking some pictures too. And he had taken a picture of me where I have a really surprised look on my face. And that was right after that took place.
Yeah, so nobody was behind us. We were at the back of the group, so there was no way anybody could have touched her. I don't think she could have ran into anything. Yeah, I was taking pictures. The last picture I took, you could all of a sudden see a look on Casey's face that I've never seen before. And the thing is, she didn't tell me this happened when it happened. She waited a little bit.
I did.
And so then when I went back, it's like, that explains the look on your face.
Right.
So that was really, really cool. We tried to recreate it to see if it would happen again. It didn't.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, whatever was down there let us know it was there.
Right? It definitely did. That was so interesting. Cool to have an experience at the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah. That's what we went for.
Right? It is, for sure. So that's what you want to experience when you go to a place like that. You want to have stuff happen. But wait, it gets spookier. The fourth floor, as we've mentioned before, is said to be a paranormal hotspot, with reports of ghostly children playing in the hallways. Some claim they're the spirits of children who once stayed at the hotel. Guess we will never really know. But we had a blast checking out the hotel from top to bottom and all around, from the maze to the underground tunnels. There are a plethora of eerie vibes that may follow you wherever you go on the Stanley grounds. And finally, for all you paranormal enthusiasts, the Stanley Hotel offers ghost tours, as you heard before. Yep, you heard me right. You can sign up to explore the hotel's haunted history with a guide who will lead you through the shadowy corridors, sharing spine-chilling tales along the way. Just be prepared to check your bed before you sleep. You never know who or what might be lurking.
We forgot. I had an experience.
Yeah, I know. You did have an experience, right? So we're going to share some more because we have to.
Okay.
Yes. So I want to hear your experience. And I know they're dying to know.
So when we went to bed that night, I was planning to stay up all night, which didn't happen because apparently I was just tired. We went to bed, and at some point during the night, I felt something cold and icy on the back of my head. Now, I'm used to sleeping with different, like, animals. I have cats and kids, and so I'm used to things, you know, waking me up. But that one, it was cold. It felt like it was winter, and, you know, this was early September, so it wasn't cold yet. You know, I never really opened my eyes because I kind of knew where we were. So I don't know what time it was. I was too scared to look. But I kind of just thought where we were in the room. It's like, okay, we're in a hotel. The window's that way. The air's that way. It's like, why is this on the back of my head? And then I was like, well, hopefully it just goes away. And I don't think I told Casey till the next day.
Right. You didn't.
Yeah, that was my only experience. It was creepy enough. We did not stay in one of the supposedly haunted rooms. You know, maybe whatever was there knew we were going to go check it out.
Right.
I mean, that was icy. So there's a difference between cold and icy.
Definitely. So. Yeah, I think so. It is. So that's crazy that you experienced that. And it was summertime, guys. So it's like, it was pretty warm up there.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
And then I had an experience the next morning too. Like I took a shower, I was getting out, and you know how like sometimes the mirrors steam up from the shower? So I had looked at, there's a mirror above the sink and one on the door. I notice if the mirror is steamed, I would definitely notice that, but it wasn't. I was putting makeup on, I was brushing my hair, and I had noticed both mirrors, like you could just see them easily, and like I was getting dressed, so I would have noticed it. But there was no steam on the mirrors on either one. But then as like I was going to leave the bathroom, it was about 15 minutes later because, you know, girl getting dressed, doing all the things, the makeup and stuff, it takes a while. So it was 15, maybe 20 minutes even later. And I was going to like leave the bathroom and I opened the door. And as I was opening the door, there was steam on the mirror, which was so crazy. Why would there be steam after so long when there wasn't steam before?
I don't know. I was too afraid to look in the mirrors in the bathroom. I'm afraid something's always going to be there, so right. I just don't look.
Oh, man. It was just such a weird thing. Like, I just didn't expect any of that to be happening. Yeah, so we had some crazy experiences. So speaking of spooky, interesting experiences, we want to share with you one last thing, and that was the seance.
Ooh.
Ooh, so what was your favorite thing about the seance?
Just the overall experience. I've never done anything like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool seeing unexpected things happen. I don't know if it was all real or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But some of the things were a little shocking, and I kind of left just kind of perplexed because I didn't really know what happened, but it was cool. I don't know if anything in particular. I mean, well, there was a doll's head that turned, and that's just a nightmare.
Yeah, I know. Rich hates dolls.
I don't like dolls. I hate them, even on ghost shows on TV, and I just avoid them. And there was a doll, and I think there was somebody there that was even more scared of dolls than me, but at some point that doll's head turned, and that was, you know, not something I ever want to see again.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, when we first got there, we were the first ones in the room with the guy that was leading the seance because they have like this whole experience you could do. You pay money and you do the seance. So the guy was in there and we were there waiting for the other people to get there. And I noticed the doll and I told Rich, I was like, oh, look at the doll. He was like, oh gosh. And
yeah.
But we noticed her head was facing towards the direction of the wall. She was like in the corner and her head was facing towards the wall. And so we were talking about it, and the guy that was doing the seance, he looked at us and he was talking, you know, he started talking to us about it because we were like, oh gosh, the doll. And so like he noticed that. And so he was talking to us about it, and he's like, yeah, I have it. So her head is facing that way. That way she doesn't scare people because not everyone likes dolls. And so we had this whole conversation, and then we were like right in the middle of the seance, and I look up, and I'm the only one that notices. Like, I'm the first one that notices that her head was facing towards us all, towards the group. And I was like, oh my God. And like, I'm whispering and I'm like, Rich, Rich. And I like kind of like nudge him and I'm like, the doll. And he's like, what? And I'm like, the doll. And he's just like so confused. And I'm like, look at the doll. And he looks at the doll and he sees it and he's like, oh my God. And so then the seance guide, he like notices what's going on and he's just like, oh, what do you see? What happened? And I told him, everyone's like freaking out. They're like, oh my gosh.
You can't see me obviously, but I'm like freaking out over here just talking about it. Yeah. I did not like that. And
ooh. That was definitely crazy.
It was probably the most shocking thing I've ever seen.
Right?
Ever. So.
But nobody, we didn't see her head turn. So, like, that's the thing. We don't know if he has, like, a thing under his table or if, like, it really did it in real life. It was just, like...
Either way, I didn't like it. And yeah. I don't ever want to see a haunted doll again.
No. No, but then you had an experience. So he had one person from each group do something. So talk about that.
So he had, I don't know, there were, like, 5 or 6 groups, you know, couples in there. We each wrote something, our happy place, on a card. And I thought of a lot of things in my mind. I was like, oh man, what? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put with my cats. Because at that point, like, you know, my cats are making me very happy. He went through, he took the cards, hit them. I don't know where. I don't remember exactly what. Then he went through and he took a piece of clothing from each of us. So I gave him my necklace, which honestly, I don't ever take that necklace off. And he was like, started singing some song, and I didn't know the song, but apparently it was from the musical Cats. He's like, he kept looking at me, he's like, you're an interesting one, you're a little odd. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, where is this going? And he's like, your happy place is with cats? And he like questioned me. I was like, yeah, I put cats. So that was pretty cool. I was like, wow, nobody's ever read me on anything before, so.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty legit.
Right.
And I mean, he did it for other people too, and he got everybody else is pretty close. You know, I'm probably the only person that's ever gone there and written about cats.
Yes, yeah, so. Maybe. That's cool, though.
So that was cool. I know we heard some voices at one point that not everybody heard. You had an experience with the bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I jingled a bell, and it rang, and then the lady next to me jingled it, or she tried, and there was nothing there. So no sound, no jingle. It was really weird. And he said, what did he say about the bell?
It's a dead man's bell, so it only rings if there's, you know, a dead person there.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yes.
And then we looked underneath it. It didn't have the little, I don't know what it's called, the little dangly thing that jingles. It didn't even have that in there. So right. How it even rang in the first place?
Yeah.
We don't know.
How on earth did that happen? I don't know. I've got the magical touch, I guess.
Yeah, and I think there was a bell in the middle of the table that, like, rang at one point, too, and it, like, shook. I'm like, oh, God. And I don't know how you could fake that, because that was just...
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really weird.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how the heck did that happen? If you're in a safe space like that, then it's kind of neat to experience something like that and see.
It was cool. Worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so going to the Stanley has been on my bucket list for a very long time. And when we finally made this reservation, nobody was really willing to go with me except Casey. My family was freaked out. I told some of my friends, you know, a couple cools, hey, that sounds fun. One in particular, my friend Caitlin, she replied back to me. She's like, why would you ever go there? She's like, you don't mess with the dead. That's just a rule you follow. And I thought that was just hilarious. And yeah.
We had a great time, though.
I had a great time. It was worth going.
Yeah, for sure. So it was definitely worth it. And hey, I'll go on any of these like crazy, weird dates.
I did have to call my cousin Adam. He had been there before, just to the bar and like a day tour. So he was really jealous that we spent the night. He's also a fan of ghosts. So
yes.
We have to share each other's ghostly and any type of weird adventures.
Yeah, so. Definitely. That's so cool. All right, it's time for our spooky Stanley question, our last one of the day. So, what would be your reaction to encountering a ghostly presence at the Stanley Hotel? Laugh it off? Ghosts just want to have fun, right? Or document it all. Grab that camera and become a ghost hunter. Or the last one, ghostly high five. Embrace the supernatural with open arms.
I'd go with B, document it all. I as we're doing this, I'm looking through my pictures. I had over 600 pictures that I took at this thing alone. I would probably actually do all these. I'd probably, if something actually happened to me, like somebody touched me like it happened to you, I'd probably laugh a little bit.
Right.
Kind of like I do that night. I was like, okay, just go back to sleep. But also, I'd probably be excited. So probably a mix, honestly.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Just do a good old mix and see. I think that's probably good. I would document it for sure because that's what I do. I document everything. I take pictures, videos. I took so many there. And we were talking, we have over like 600 pictures each that we took.
Yeah, each. That was just my phone.
Yeah, definitely. And I have so many. I have tons. So yeah. And ghostly high five. I like high fives. So that would be fun. Embrace it. You know, why not? So with some of the most amazing views around, this place will not disappoint. As we mentioned in the beginning, the Rocky Mountains are right there. You have a super great view of them. And here's a fun joke. Why did the ghost choose to stay at the Stanley Hotel?
Why?
Because they heard it had beautiful views of the Rockies.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Didn't.
It does have nice views, though.
Yeah, I think so. And the food is so amazing. It's absolutely to die for. Pun definitely intended.
Jeez.
So, Rich got to try the Brussels sprouts for the first time ever here. And what'd you think?
They weren't as bad as I expected. They were actually pretty good.
Yeah, they were like crunchy. They fried them up and they had some different like seasonings and like different things. Maybe like pistachios or I don't know, like different weird things and like sauce. I think something like that. So it was really good. We loved it. And we also had some super awesome tacos. So you had what kind?
I had some type of fish tacos. I don't remember.
Like snapper or something.
I don't remember.
Red snapper. And then I had pork, I think, like pork tacos, I believe some kind of tacos that were amazing either way. And it was also the first time I tried an old-fashioned drink. That was one serious beverage right there.
I remember that.
Definitely bourbon-tastic. Yeah, we did that one right before the seance, actually. I think we had a little time to go to the room and stuff, and then we had the seance. But yeah, so we had that. And then the guy gave us a drink there too. He gave every single person that got there at least early or whatever, right? He gave everyone a little drink, some spirit.
Yeah. Might have added to the experience.
It could have, yeah. That's right. We can we had some spirits before engaging in a meet and greet with the other spirits.
Yeah.
Yes. So there you have it. The Stanley Hotel. It's where every creaky floorboard tells a tale, and every gust of the wind might be a ghostly whisper. Or a child playing in the hallway. You might stumble upon the lingering spirits of Stephen King's inspiration, the paw prints of beloved pets, or some other mysterious possibility, maybe whatever chilled Jim Carrey to the very core. Whether you're a horror fanatic, if you love Dumb and Dumber, or, you know, if you're a skeptic, this place will make you question the line between fiction and reality, and you'll have a great time. So happy ghost hunting, everyone. Remember to always keep the adventure alive while you have that sparkle in your eyes. All right, thanks for joining me today, Rich.
Anytime.
All right, so feel free to check out. I have a freebie about some awesome travel tips. And also, Rich's TikTok is Cats for President. And huge thanks to my sister for editing this episode. I know this episode is very long, and I usually don't do that. Thank you to my sister for doing that. I appreciate it for everything. She does the Paranormal Prowlers podcast. It's really fun. Very awesome podcast that you all should listen to, and it goes right in line with what we're talking about today. Anything paranormal, she's got you covered, which is super fun. All right, thanks all for listening. Have an awesome one, and we'll catch you in the next one.